Father, we thank you. We give you praise once again just for your presence. We give you praise once again for your word. It's always a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Help us now, sir, just to lean in further and deeper into you so that we may continue to be transformed in all that you need for us to be. I trust you for freedom of utterance in the Holy Spirit today. Words that are alive, explosive, dynamic, undeniable, that comes directly from you. That my speech, preaching, and teaching would not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of your spirit and power. We love you, sir, and give you praise. In Jesus' holy name, if you agree, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah indeed. Now, just before I, jump right into the message, you guys be in agreement with me, doing a little exercise on Friday morning, I wind up kind of tweaking my back a little bit. So if it looked like I'm moving a little gingerly, that's just your imagination. I'm fine in Jesus' name. No, but really, something that did, it's actually much better, today than it was on Friday. That was pretty interesting. But, you got to take care of God's temple, which is your body. Yeah, but I guess I did a little something that a little bit more than maybe I should have, and just a little back spasms. You know how that may happen. But it is well. Say it with me. It is well. Yes, it is. So now we're starting off this series again, the greatest comeback in all of human history. From a natural standpoint, we've seen a lot of comebacks. I am a firm believer, that Michael Jeffrey Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time. People that would say LeBron, they just don't know what they're talking about. Others that would say something like KD or Steph, like, okay, let's cut it out. Somebody even had the audacity to send me a comparison between Michael Jordan and John Havlicek. Yeah, that's what I said too. All right, okay. But anyway, with Michael Jordan, though, we saw him have a tremendous career, and then he retired, went to go play baseball. Didn't fare that well in baseball, decided to come back where he belonged, and he got back in there and won 3 more championships. Then retired again and said, you know what, I'm still not done, and came back, pretty close to the age of 40, I think he was by that point. And was playing for the Washington Wizards. That just looked strange. I remember that. Good comeback, though. We see here recently the perhaps greatest of all time in football, Tom Brady. He retired for all of about 2 hours. And then came, right back, praise God. There's been a lot of comebacks. And some have been very impressive, but none has been as impressive as what God has done through Jesus. And the thing that I love about what God did through Jesus is that it really is a foreshadow of what he's desiring to do for you. So think about whatever challenge or obstacle you could be dealing with right now. And sometimes the weight of things can feel just so heavy that it's just like, I don't know if anything is ever going to change. But God says, stay with me, because I specialize in great comebacks. Matter of fact, I orchestrated the greatest comeback in human history. So watch this. If I can get Jesus back from the dead, I can get you back from some debt. I can get you back from a broken relationship. I can get you back from losing that job. I can get you back from whatever the situation is, but you got to learn how to lean on me. It's the greatest comeback in all of human history. Isaiah chapter 54, this is where we'll begin. It says, no weapon turned against you will succeed. That's a good place to say amen. It says, you will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. Oh, I like that. Here we talked about 2023 being a year just of the blessing of the Lord. Let me remind you of the 4 elements of that. Number one is it will be a year where you will not be able to depend on your natural ability, intellect, charisma, connections, or know-how. 2, it will be a year where God's blessing will hover over your life like a cloud and will open doors for you that you could never open on your own. Someone say, I receive that. Then number three says, and this is where I really want us to be able to kind of lock in, it will be a year for God to prepare a royal banquet in the presence of all those who chose to stand against you, root against you, and doubt the power of God, watch this, that is with you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now let's make sure we understand, that doesn't mean the weapon won't, you know, be formed. That doesn't mean the weapon won't be used against you. So there will be some challenges. There can be some difficulties. But God's promise to you is when you are connected with him, it will not prosper, meaning it will not win. So even though you may go through a few rounds, let me use a boxing analogy, where it looks like, you know, things are just not going that well. I remember, I like boxing. I remember when Floyd Mayweather fought Sugar Shane Mosley. Now, Mosley told him up front, he said, I'm going to knock this guy out. I'm going to knock Floyd out. And the first round, Sugar Shane Mosley was putting it on Floyd. Second round, it continued that same way. And in the second round, he caught Floyd with his absolute best shot. And it buckled Floyd's knees for a moment. Floyd grabbed him, recouped, got out the round. Third round, Floyd turned that thing around. Fourth round, Floyd's putting a beating on him. Fifth round, I mean, at this point, you know, Mosley is like, what in the world else can I do? I hit him with the best thing I got, and he's still standing coming at me. Well, make a long story short, Floyd went on to win the fight. If you'd have judged things just on that first and second round, you'd have thought for sure Floyd was going to be out of there. See, just because you may be dealing with something, and just because it could be hurting right now, and just because maybe there's a case where you can't tell a whole lot of people, a lot of people may not understand, you know, you're dealing with some things maybe in secret, I want you to be encouraged to know that God sees it. And God wants to lift you from it. Trust him in this. And God's got your back. The fourth element about this year, the blessing of the Lord, is it will be a year to put all your eggs into God's basket. Turn your face fully toward him. Remove all known distractions and surrender to him the details of your life. So on this first edition here of the greatest comeback in history, we're just going to deal with this subject matter. Down but never out. Amen. Say it with me. I may be down, but I'm never out. Find somebody around you and look at them and say, you might get down, but never count yourself out. Never, ever, ever, praise God. Never count yourself out. You know, again, you know, using boxing analogies, you know, I like, you know, boxing movies. Come on now, we got Creed 3 that's out already. Come on, let's go, let's go. And Creed 1, if you remember, when he's fighting the champion, you know, at the end of the fight, my man hits him with, you know, such a, you know, a blow. It literally knocks him out for a second. He's down. And then, you know, they show you different little clips, and all of a sudden, you know, he just, boom, springs up, you know, and he's right back in the game. Even though it looked like he was out, even though he's down, come on now, he rose up, got back in there, and went to work. You have to have the heart of a champion where you will not quit. Say it with me, I will not quit. Now, what I mean by that, will not quit, will not quit doing it God's way. I will not quit on faith and trust with God. See, anybody can just keep going and do it in your own strength. Anyone can not quit hustling. Anyone can do that. I'm saying don't quit doing it God's way. Don't quit having faith in God on this matter. So let's begin to look at a little history here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul begins to express some of the things that he's been through. And in this particular case, he's actually comparing himself to some of the other disciples and apostles like Peter and the like. And he says in verse 23, the latter part of the verse, I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. And then he said, you know what, let me just get specific for y'all. Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Five different times. Three times I was beaten with rods. That's not pleasant. Once I was stoned. Now, when you understand how stoning went in Jewish law, they didn't stop stoning you until you were dead. Now you ponder that. Three times, Paul says, I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. So I've traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Paul was reflecting on the fact that, you know, a lot of times individuals didn't consider him to be, you know, an apostle, you know, like the apostle Peter and the like. And Paul was like, listen, y'all, you need to understand my resume and track record. I have gone through a lot in serving Christ. But I want you to understand, he's not saying it from a standpoint of complaint. So that's where you got to take in all the, you know, totality of things. He's not saying it from the standpoint of woe is me. He's just simply saying, this is what I've been through, and this is one of the things that qualifies me to speak on the behalf of Almighty God. He said, I've been whipped, I've been shipwrecked, I've even been stoned. None of the other apostles could say that. But then in Romans chapter 8, we get the heart behind what Paul is expressing with these type of things. He says in verse 35, whosoever separate us from Christ's love, shall suffering and affliction and tribulation, or calamity and distress, or persecution, or hunger, or destitution, or peril, or sword. Watch this. That's all the kind of stuff he was just describing in 2 Corinthians. He says, but none of that stuff separates you from God's love. None of it. Says, even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, amid all these things, we are more than conquerors. Amid all what stuff? All the tribulation, all the challenges, all the hardship, all the circumstances, all the people talking about you. Come on, people that you thought that was in your corner all of a sudden now trying to push you in a corner. No. Paul says, listen, amid all of these things, you need to understand you are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. Say it with me. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. See, when we talk about the greatest comeback in human history, you got to start to identify the same way Jesus identified himself, more than a conqueror. Come on now, more. Not just a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror. That means you win and you win big. You win and you win by knockout, praise God. Come on, not TKO. No. They didn't have a chance to get back up. You put them to sleep. More than conquerors are who you are. But watch this, it says, amid all the stuff that you're going through. Now you have to adopt that mindset while you're going through. It's easy to adopt the mindset after you win. Everybody then like, oh, I'm a champion. I'm more than a conqueror. Yeah, but how do you feel and how do you see yourself when you're going through? What is it then? Come on, when the pain is really real, can you back up, pause, summon who you really are in Christ and say, wait a minute, but I'm still more than a conqueror. I remember one particular gentleman, his name escapes me now. He'll come to me. But pretty much lost everything that he had three times. Somebody would say, man, you should stop. But you did good the first time. Okay, we got it. You lost the first time and you kind of regained things. You should have learned your lesson. But, you know, he kind of kept pressing things and lost. I mean, literally, he'll tell you, that man, I went broke. See, I went broke, but I never quit. And here's, in essence, what he's saying, that those setbacks and that brokenness did not define me. That was just a temporary circumstance. As I knew, even though I had lost everything, I could get it back. I could get it back. And then went on, you know, years ago, went on to be, you know, a very wealthy billionaire. And his whole mindset is, I wanted to impact 13 generations in my family. Jesus. See, this is a thinking of more than a conqueror when you're going through things. You can be going through, and I get it. I've been through things, you know, and dealing with some things. It doesn't feel good when you're going through it. But that's why you don't let your feelings dictate. Come on, receive what God has said about you. I like to say it this way. What Paul is saying here is that you are invincible. Say it with me. I'm invincible. Invincible is too powerful to be defeated or overcome. You're an invincible warrior. You're too powerful to be defeated or overcome. Yeah, you may take a blow. You may go down. But built on the inside of you, and his name is Holy Spirit, is this eternal champion that if you will allow him, will always bring you back from whatever you're dealing with. And this is the example God gives us in his son Jesus, to the point that every demon in hell is resting upon, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy is celebrating like we defeated the champion. What he didn't know, though, is that the count wasn't over. See, that little pulsating sound in the background, the devil didn't realize the count was still going. And then early Sunday morning, before the final count had rung, Jesus rises and changes everything. And then I love this. You go look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Scripture tells, it says, if the devil would have known what he was doing, he'd have never crucified Jesus. If he'd have known that he was being set up for the greatest rope-a-dope of all time, he'd have never done it. He'd have left him alone. The worst thing the devil could have done was kill Jesus. And obviously for us, it was the best thing. But how God brought Jesus through is the same way God is committed to bring you through. You are invincible. Say it with me. I'm invincible. You better believe it. You are invincible. But now you got to be careful here, because our society has a tendency to gravitate towards victimhood now. We start to associate ourselves like victims. In other words, making excuses for setbacks, maybe failures. It's somebody else's fault. It's this color person's fault. It's a man's fault. It's a woman's fault. It's the children's fault. It's the institution's fault. It's somebody else's. Reason for why I'm in the situation that I'm in. That's called victimhood. And in many ways, I'm just going to say this and I'm going to move on. It's a product of slavery. And I'll move on. This victimhood philosophy is this mental attitude that says my hurt, my pain, my suffering is ultimately due to factors outside of my control. This does not mean that bad people don't do bad things against us. This does not mean that, you know, there's not malicious things that happen that do impact us. Doesn't mean any of that. What it does mean is when I recognize that I'm in Christ, I have the game changer to whatever else that could come up against me. So whatever else they may be doing, whatever else they may be trying, because of the one who lives on the inside of me, it changes everything. And that's why John said it this way: greater is he that's in me than any of this stuff out here in this world. So I'm not worrying about this. I make no excuses. Lose that victimhood mentality. Don't get swept into that. Let me help you understand what the victim's mentality looks like versus an invincible victor's mindset. Victim mentality always makes excuses. Victim mentality does a lot of whining. The invincible victor's mindset, though, looks for opportunities. So even when things are looking, you know, kind of, you know, bleak, The victor's, you know, mindset has a different outlook. See, some individuals will look up and be like, man, you know, the stock market is all over the place and things, you know, are low and so forth, and see, Wall Street, you know, they're manipulating things, you know, is kind of start making those excuses. The victor, mentality will look at the situation and be like, oh, man, stock's on sale now. Okay, I'll leave that alone then. It's opportunity there. It's opportunity. Watch this. When there's a downturn, that's opportunity. Oh. Okay. All right. Now, number two, victim's mentality constantly complains. You know, one thing that I stress to our leaders here at Impact, and I'll share with all of y'all, never complain about what you've been called to. One of the worst things you can do. I don't see why I have to do this. Because you said you were called to it. That's why you're doing it. Okay, let me slide back over here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't fall into that mentality of constantly complaining. It's victimhood. It's victimhood. Be free from that. The invincible victor's mindset is perpetually optimistic. It's always believing. Watch this. I may be down, but I'm never out. Yeah, I may have lost everything, but I'm going to get it back. Huh? She may have left, but I'm going to get me a new one. All right, I just put it out there. All right, glory to God. Come on, he may have left, but you get you a new one. Yes. It's perpetually optimistic. A victim's mentality blames others for failure. An invincible victor's mindset inspires others to succeed. See, we don't have time blaming others for, failures. We're looking for opportunities to inspire others to succeed. See, an invincible victor's mindset is not only just thinking about themselves. You're looking at, how do I inspire others to succeed here? A victim's mentality compares oneself to others. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the worst things you can do is to compare yourself with somebody else. It's a miserable state. It's a miserable state. I learned this lesson years ago, and I remember one particular situation. I was, in Jacksonville, and so I'm assistant pastor and so forth, and I think I preached a message, and somebody's like, well, you don't really preach like, Bishop Davis. It's not because I'm not Bishop Davis. That Bishop Davis, I'm Anthony Crawford. And I told people, I said, I make a very poor George Davis, but I'm an exceptional Anthony Crawford. But see, we have this tendency that we like to compare. And it's almost human nature. You know how it is, because you get a good meal right here at this restaurant, and then you go to the next restaurant, and your mind takes you back to where you had that good meal. And you start to compare. I get it. We start doing that with ourselves and doing that with other people, that's very dangerous. Don't compare yourself with anyone else. It's victimhood. Don't do it. Enjoy who God has called you to be. And listen, enjoy what you have. That doesn't mean you can't aspire for more, but enjoy and appreciate what you have. Enjoy where God has you. Don't compare oneself to others. An invincible victor's mindset considers their identity in Christ. That's what we do. We don't have time to compare ourselves, watch this, with anyone else, really, but Jesus. Because I'm in Christ. So we recognize that's the standard that I'm living up to. Lastly is this. A victim's mentality is subject to quit and walk away. But an invincible victor's mindset is determined to press through and stay. I believe, my opinion, I think I can back it up very well, though, in Scripture, but I believe God just does not care a whole lot about quitters. Not that he doesn't love everybody. But folks that quit, folks that walk away, Remember, I think it was last week or other week, we were looking at, you know, that kind of rich, you know, young ruler, and he comes to Jesus with that pretense of what do I need to do to inherit eternal life, you know? And Jesus made it clear. He says, man, you just got a wrong relationship with money right now. So go ahead and sell what you have. Give you know, your possessions to the poor. And says, and come follow me. And the young fellow was like, oh, no, dog, you went too far. You went way too far. See, he wanted the morality without following God. This is where our society is in today. There's this pretense of morality without the subjection to God. And he walks away from Jesus. He's just like, man, I'm out of here. And then Jesus does something that a lot of times people don't anticipate with Jesus. Jesus let him go. He's like, you gone, dog? All right. And then turned around and talked to his disciples to teach them a lesson about him being gone. Yes. You would think Jesus would have been like, hey, man, come on back. Let me teach you. You need to hear this lesson. You need to hear it just like them. Come on back. No, he's just like, you gone? Okay, go. Not that he was mad at him, but he just understood. He says, man, you got a victim mentality. You got, watch this. You got a whole lot of money. You got all kind of stuff good going for you, but you're still a victim in your head. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Here, we're going to wrap up on this part as we're going to transition here in the Holy Communion. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 9. I love this. You know, this is Paul. And this is Paul just being who he is and at his best. He says, we now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure, the wisdom and knowledge of God. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. And then notice what he says. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Come on, this is that victor's mentality that says, you're right, we're pressed on every side with troubles, but we're not crushed. This stuff cannot crush us. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're hunted down. People are after us. People are talking about us. People are doing malicious things towards us, but we're never abandoned by God. Come on, watch this. Those close to you can walk away from you, but here Paul was saying, but God is still with me. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. You may be down, but don't you ever consider yourself out. God has called you to rise up. Watch this. Come on. The count is still going. The count is still going. And here's the great news. God will keep the count going until you get up, baby. The count will keep going until you get up. Come on. They may say 10. So what? God, keep counting. Huh? My son is not up yet. Huh? My daughter's not up yet. Count will keep going until you get up. But you got to have the victor's mentality and refuse to give in to that sense of victimhood. We are victors. Say it with me. I am a victor. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, I am a victor. Say it like this with two hands lifted up on high. Repeat it after me. Dear God, thank you so much for loving me in the midst of troubles. I know I can lean on you. Regardless of what comes, I might be down, but I'm never counted out. So thank you now for giving me the wisdom, the insight to know the things to do that I might speed my recovery, that I may rise just like you rose. Thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, just somebody give God thanks for about 10 seconds. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Yeah, thank you for the wisdom to speed our way, Father, to exactly what you've called us to do, and that's to be on top as the victors. We are more than conquerors, praise God.